This morning on WCHL, the Orange County Five arrested at a Moral Monday protest could have all charges dropped.
Until now, Judge Hamilton has rejected those arguments.
Your local mayors are teaming up to tackle growing concerns for affordable housing here in Orange County for those using housing choice vouchers.
As their leases have run up, they've encountered difficulty in trying to find other apartments or rental agencies that will accept housing vouchers.
And UNC is preparing to hold another emergency drill on campus. These stories and much more, plus your Chapel Hill Carborough traffic and weather together. In WCHL Championship Sports, UNC head coach Larry Fedora says in year three of his system, things ought to start looking easier on the gridiron, at least for those guys who've been around for a while. And
did Olympic basketball go pro to win or for the money?
All that this morning in our Chansky's Sports Notebook.
This is 97.9 FM and 1360 AM WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station. WCHL's morning news with Ron Stutz begins now.
7:07 at WCHL. We have 69 degrees in Chapel Hill. It's rather cloudy this morning. We do have a chance of some patchy drizzle for a while this morning and areas of fog as well. Nothing like yesterday's fog, but a little fog you might run into out there. Otherwise, partly sunny today, a little warmer than yesterday. High today about 88 degrees. The attorney for the so-called Orange County Five says he's encouraged by the recent dismissal in Wake County of five other Moral Monday protester cases based on a recent U.S. Supreme Court ruling that protest-free buffer zones on public property around abortion clinics are unconstitutional. Orange County Commissioner Mark Dorison is the attorney representing the Orange County Five, a group of elected officials arrested last year for trespassing and related charges during protests of Republican policies at the North Carolina General Assembly in Raleigh. Those protesters are Carborough Alderman Michelle Johnson, Damon Siles, and Sammy Slade. Former Carborough Mayor and now Orange County Register of Deeds-elect Mark Chilton and Chapel Hill Town Councilmember Donna Bell. Last week, Wake County District Judge Joyce Hamilton dismissed five Moral Monday cases, citing the Supreme Court's ruling on that Massachusetts abortion clinic case, McCullen v. Coakley. Dornison told WCHL he was as surprised as anybody.
Moral Monday lawyers have been making the constitutional argument in all of the Moral Monday trials that have gone on so far, and until now, Judge Hamilton has rejected those arguments.
He said he always believed that the order to arrest the protesters in the first place was unconstitutional. Dorison and some of his clients have informed WCHL in the past that they were looking forward to making that case in Superior Court. But if Hamilton's ruling sticks, that might not even be necessary.
What is interesting about the ruling and what is hopeful for everyone involved is that if, in fact, the General Assembly police order that led to the arrest of everyone in the building, regardless of what they were doing, if, in fact, that is unconstitutional, as Judge Hamilton has now indicated, then I believe all of the charges against all of the protesters should be dismissed.
Mark Dorison added that he would consider it an ideal outcome if charges against all Moral Monday protesters were dropped based on the judge's ruling. The North Carolina House and Senate spent weeks this summer unable to agree on a state budget. Now, their inability to agree on how to adjourn could leave this year's session in even more confusion. House and Senate Republicans passed competing versions of adjournment resolutions that differed on which legislation to consider if they were to return next week and in mid-November. The two sides would like to work on how to clean up coal ash pits and overhaul Medicaid. Without an adjournment agreement, however, the chambers technically remain in session and have to hold skeleton meetings every fourth day, even if they don't transact any business, to comply with the state constitution. Governor Pat McCrory could lure lawmakers back to Raleigh for an agreement if he vetoes a bill they left on his desk. The mayors of Chapel Hill and Carborough are holding a joint news conference today to highlight the problems of low-income residents whose housing choice vouchers are being rejected by local landlords. WCHL's Danny Hooley has more on the story.
The existence of the housing choice vouchers is important to so many families here in our community. We are known far and wide as a community where it's difficult often to find affordable housing.
That's Chapel Hill Mayor Mark Kleinschmidt. He and Carborough Mayor Lydia Lavelle will hold a joint news conference today at Carborough Town Commons to talk about the problems faced by low-income residents whose housing choice vouchers are rejected by some landlords in the area. Housing Choice Vouchers are funded through the federal government's Department of Housing and Urban Development. In Carborough and Chapel Hill, they're administered by Orange County government. Eligible renters are required to pay the difference between the rent charged by the landlord and the amount subsidized by the program. Last summer, leaders of the towns of Chapel Hill and Carborough began hearing that some prominent local landlords, including General Services Corporation, had stopped accepting Housing Choice Vouchers. In Carborough, GSC owns Estes Park, Royal Park, Carolina Apartments, Ridgewood, and University Lake. In Chapel Hill, the corporation owns Pine Gate, Booker Creek, Franklin Woods, and Kingswood. According to the press release from the town of Chapel Hill announcing today's news conference, the refusal of some landlords to accept the vouchers displaced about 60 families. Lavelle told WCHL that while there was an initial outcry over that, there hasn't been much public discussion since. She said that now is the time to bring the issue again to the forefront.
Over the course of the last year, as the folks who use these vouchers, as their leases have run up, they've encountered difficulty in trying to find other apartments or rental agencies that will accept housing vouchers.
She added that the news conference is part of a brainstorming process that gets the community involved in thinking through the problem.
Several housing organizations have been meeting to try to help these residents, as well as the town of Chapel Hill and town of Carborough. We've been working on it as well.
Lavelle said she hopes that other landlords in the community will respond positively. She added that current and previous voucher users will be at the news conference, as well as some realtors that accept housing vouchers and are happy to share their experiences. Carborough's mayor said that while there are some administrative hassles for landlords who accept vouchers, those are outweighed by the advantages of honoring them.
Often, these renters are long-term residents. And so once you are able to establish a home, and once one of these residents is in their home, they very often become a very good tenant and stay on for many years.
The Carborough Board of Aldermen discussed the situation at its last meeting in June. Members agreed to allocate money from a housing trust fund to help eligible tenants pay down their deposits. Lavelle said that Orange County is also looking at ways to streamline the process on the front end to make it easier on landlords. WCHL reached out to General Services Corporation Durham office for comment and was referred to the corporate office in Richmond, Virginia. A message was left, and GSC had not returned the call as of Monday afternoon. The news conference with Mayors Kleinschmidt and Lavelle will be held at 10 a.m. at Carborough Town Commons next to Town Hall at 301 West Main Street. You can find this story at chapelborough.com. Danny Hooley, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
The university will conduct an emergency drill next Monday, August 11th, that will affect traffic on Manning Drive between 9 a.m. and 2 p.m. Actors will portray campus community members and victims in order to simulate a response to an actual emergency on campus. Emergency personnel and vehicles will be visible along Manning Drive, and uniformed responders will react as they would in an actual emergency. A portion of Manning Drive will be closed for the duration of the drill, and drivers are encouraged to utilize the posted detour route along Bowles Drive. The FCX, HU, S, and U bus routes will all use the Bowles Drive detour. The bus stops on Manning Drive at Erringhouse Dorm and Henton James Dorm will be closed during the drill. Riders can board detoured buses at the stop on Manning Drive at the Public Safety Building. In a press release, Chapel Hill Transit announced that efforts will be made to maintain the normal schedule, but customers are encouraged to allow for extra travel time and delays. The drill will also impact schedule projections on the Next Bus website. For more information about the drill, visit alertcarolina.unc.edu. And that is happening next Monday, August 11th, a drill being put into place by emergency workers and the University of North Carolina. 7:15 at WCHL. We have some real problems as far as traffic is concerned south of town this morning. Time now to check traffic and weather together on WCHL. This traffic report is brought to you by Dickie's Barbecue Pit.
Thank you very much, Ron. And those problems are in the southern part on 15501 between Chapel Hill and Pittsburgh, of course. This is 15501 where it is shut down. A bunch of alternate routes have actually been coming through on Twitter now because people are having to avoid that area. 15501 completely closed down. We've got Hamlet Chapel to Jones Ferry is an option. We've also got the WCHL Road Warrior who called in and said Andrew's Store to Mann's Chapel. Of course, Jack Bennett to Lystra Road, another option. That's one of the first options that came in. So you can kind of tell exactly where that area, 15501, is closed. Briar Chapel People are asking if they can get onto 15501, and it's best to go out the backside of Briar Chapel instead of going to 15501. Go out the backside and try to get to either the north or south direction that way as well. So lots of trouble, and it's going to take a while to clean that up. Again, the tractor trailer, one of the tractor trailers involved, was actually split in half because it looked like another tractor trailer went through it. It was at a traffic intersection, so probably a running of the red light or something like that that occurred. Still don't know what's going on with any more information involved in that, but we'll continue to follow it. Again, 15501 northbound and southbound in that area, seeing some heavy delays and closure right between Jack Bennett and Lystra Road. So please use caution in that area and give yourself some extra time to travel as well, because that road is closed. So you're going to have to use that detour this morning. Otherwise, we're seeing just the usual slowdowns this morning. Nothing too major. 15501 northbound and southbound in the northern part of town, right around I-40, seeing some minor to moderate delays just around Ephesus Church Road to I-40. NC-54 eastbound and westbound between Barbie Chapel Road and I-40. Also seeing some minor to moderate delays, but nothing else on the road. Roadways, too big of a problem out there. But if you see anything as you travel throughout the rest of the day, already had one WCHL Road Warrior call in. It's 919-967-8363. That is the number to call, or you can tweet us at WCHL. As always, we ask you to do that safely.
Yeah, well, what problems for folks coming in from south of town today? And we'll keep an eye on that, continue to let you know what's going on. Thanks a lot, Rand.
Certainly, thank you.
The traffic report is brought to you by Dickey's Barbecue Pit on the Chapel Hill side of Durham, right next to New Hope Commons. Eat in, call ahead for takeout, order in advance, or you can arrange for catering if you like at dickeys.com. WCHL's Chapel Hill Carboro weather presented by the Carolina Inns, Carolina Crossroads Restaurant and Bar. It is 70 degrees in Chapel Hill, partly sunny. A little patchy drizzle expected this morning. Areas of fog as well. Not as foggy as yesterday. We had a dense fog advisory in effect yesterday morning until about 10. And today's fog, nothing like that, but we do have some fog in some spots. So just be careful. You might run into some of that. Our high today in the upper 80s, a little bit warmer than yesterday. Tonight, partly cloudy with a low in the middle 60s. Tomorrow, it's going to be warmer still. Mostly sunshine with a high in the low 90s. Tomorrow night, partly cloudy with a low in the upper 60s. And then on Thursday, partly sunny and the temperatures dropping back down to the middle 80s. So I like the sound of that. So today, pretty nice. Tomorrow, really hot. And then the next day, not as warm. So that's pretty encouraging weather. It's 718 at WCHL. The Carolina Inns, Carolina Crossroads Restaurant and Bar is one of only three Forbes four-star rated restaurants in all of North Carolina. Carolina Crossroads Restaurant is a favorite place for gourmet cuisine.
Our name is WCHL. Our dial positions, 97.9 FM and 1360 AM. Our station website is chapelboro.com, where you can listen anywhere in the world with live streaming. This is Chapel Hill Carboro's news, talk, and Tar Heel station, WCHL.
News around town this morning, a lot of news around Hillsboro today. Head to the Orange County Public Library in Hillsboro on Saturday for a reading by best-selling author Jessica Scott. Scott will be reading from her latest novel, Back to You, the latest in her popular Coming Home series. She'll also be signing copies, which will be on sale at the event thanks to Purple Crow Books. The reading starts at 4 o'clock on Saturday. The library is at 137 West Margaret Lane in Hillsboro. And the fate of Hillsboro's historic Colonial Inn is now in the hands of the town's Historic District Commission. Hillsboro's Historic District Commission will meet in the town barn at 7 o'clock tomorrow night. They'll be considering whether to approve an application for a certificate of appropriateness by Francis Henry, the building's owner. If the commission approves the application, Henry will be allowed to demolish the building. In 2003, the State Historic Preservation Office recognized the Colonial Inn with statewide significance designation. That designation enables the local Historic District Commission to overrule owners who want to demolish the building unless the commission finds that the owner would suffer extreme hardship or be permanently deprived of all beneficial use or return. Francis Henry bought that building in 2001, located at 153 West King Street. It's 175 years old, but it's been sitting vacant for years and years. Wednesday's meeting is open to the public, but only sworn expert testimony will be heard. The commission will make its decision later based solely on the evidence gathered at this meeting. Now, that controversy has been going on for quite some time, and Finally, it sounds like a resolution may be coming soon. 7:21 at WCHL, and time now for championship sports. Let me just tell you that preseason training camp is in full swing now for the Carolinas football team. The season opening game against Liberty, only 25 days away. Head coach Larry Fedora is giving the Tar Heels a crash course in preparation for a 2014 campaign full of expectation. Expectations are high. Tar Heels have been ranked number 23 in one preseason poll. WCHL's Matt Oakes has more on Carolina football.
Coach Fedora says he's been happy with the energy level and excitement surrounding the players during preseason practices, which began last Friday.
You know, I was really pleased with the way they moved around. I mean, it's your typical first day. We're in shorts, and everybody's hopes are high, and, you know, they're excited, and they were all flying around. But probably, you know, again, it was more about the recall for the coaches, seeing how much they had done over the summer, what they knew, what they didn't know, and we were really pleased.
The first couple seasons under the Coach Fedora regime has seen modest success for the Tar Heels, who've gone 15-10 overall with a Belk Bowl win, putting an exclamation point on 2013. But in year three in the system, Coach Fedora says he expects things will come even easier for the Tar Heels.
Right now, I mean, you do have guys over there that have been in the system now for 3 years, and so they don't have to think about it anymore. They know what they're doing. They can react, and they can actually be as good as they can be. I mean, they're because now they don't have to worry about things. I mean, there's not a whole lot of thought process in it. Now they can react to what they're seeing and what's going on and just play ball.
The number one question as the season creeps ever closer will continue to be the status of the starting quarterback. Marquise Williams and Mitch Trubisky continue to duke it out on the Navy Field practice facility. But although Coach Fedora won't tip his hand on his starter, he has revealed the winning criteria for the job.
It's going to be, you know, who makes the offense most productive. You know, there's no doubt about it. It's going to be who's the most productive player on the field and who makes the offense most productive. You know, and then on top of that, it's kind of who leads his team the best. You know, and so those are two major factors for us. But, I mean, production's still going to be number one.
For those expecting a decision on the quarterback position, think again. Coach Fedora is in no hurry to make a call.
What, the game's on the 30th, right?
Yeah.
We got to make a decision, you know, that morning sometime, I would imagine. So we got to put somebody out there for that first snap.
The man who will be play calling for the Tar Heel offense this fall, Seth Luttrell, is eager to take some more aggressive shots down the field in Keenan Stadium. Earlier on in the spring, Coach Fedora says the players' knowledge was far more advanced than Coach Luttrell because he wasn't able to bring his own offensive scheme with him from Bloomington. But now the former Indiana offensive coordinator has caught up. Coach Fedora says Coach Luttrell is much more comfortable in the offensive scheme these days.
He's a whole lot more comfortable. And you got to remember now, Seth's more comfortable with what we're doing because, I mean, Seth didn't bring his offense in here. You know, what he was used to calling and what the terminology he was used to. Seth has learned this offense and then added some things to it that he brought to it. But he had to learn the terminology. I do think he feels a lot more comfortable just understanding the strengths and weaknesses of the kids he's got and what he can do with them.
Matt Oakes, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
A lot of excitement surrounding Carolina football. And, of course, this is the place you need to be for Carolina football season. Complete coverage of Carolina every game, and of course, extensive pregame and postgame coverage right here on WCHL. Panthers franchise player Greg Hardy entered a not guilty plea at an arraignment hearing, and his jury trial has been set for November 17th. That's according to his attorney, Chris Fialco. The Pro Bowl defensive end is appealing a July 15th conviction on misdemeanor charges of assaulting a female and communicating threats. The trial date for Hardy is scheduled during Carolina's bye week in the season. Carolina will host Atlanta on November 16th. We're talking about the Carolina Panthers here, of course. However, Fialco, the attorney, issued a statement on Monday saying he believes the trial will be pushed back even further. Fialco says the state will try much older cases at the November date, and we will be assigned a jury trial date in 2015 once that master court calendar is published. I do not think this district attorney will leapfrog Mr. Hardy's case over the many other older ones. That is a quote from Hardy's attorney, Fialco. It is 7:25 at WCHL. Good morning. I'm Ron Stutz.
Art Chansky's Sports Notebook, exclusively on 97.9 FM WCHL.
Did Olympic basketball go pro to win or for the money? This is Art Chansky with Tuesday Sports Notebook. To this day, the USA has only failed to win the gold medal in Olympic basketball twice. The first time was 1972 in Munich, when the Russians basically stole the gold by being allowed to attempt the winning shot three times, or until they made it. Then there was 2004 in Athens, when nine different players, and who had qualified for the Olympics the summer before, stumbled and bumbled their way to a bronze medal finish. In between, of course, came the landmark change in international basketball, when the NBA Dream Team began representing the USA in 1992. Ever since allowing the pros into what was always for the amateurs, NBA stars have played for the red, white, and blue, supposedly for love of the game and no financial compensation. Now millions are made on the Olympics, and none of that is going to the right place, namely the players and the NBA teams that take all the risk. But with the horrific injury to Paul George during the USA team scrimmage, many people are saying the system is upside down. Dallas Mavericks owner Mark Cuban has long been a critic of the NBA putting its talent in harm's way to play for love of country, while he and his fellow pro franchises have to hold their breath. George's double leg fracture, almost too gruesome to watch, certainly kills the Indiana Pacers for the 2014-15 season, which George will miss while recuperating. Yes, there was a hue and cry for Shaq, Jordan, Magic, and the rest of the Dream Team to maintain USA's world dominance in a sport that was getting far more competitive on the amateur level. Foreign countries used players who made money as pros in their respective leagues in the Olympics, so why couldn't the USA? Cuban accuses USA Basketball, which runs our international competition, of being a corrupt, money-grubbing organization. Mike Krzyzewski has now been our Olympic coach for 12 years, which is not only a ridiculous advantage for him in recruiting, but it violates the amateur code as much as having NBA millionaires play for the Olympic team. None of them, including Coach K, gets paid for the Olympics because, frankly, none of them need it. But who's to say the best 12 college players in the country couldn't be competitive every 4 years? Cuban says the model is a bad one and needs to be scrapped. George's injury will stoke the debate, but it is sure to also bring realistic change to USA basketball. This is Art Chansky. See ya.
Fitz Lumber and Hardware has been in business since 1907 and been here in downtown Carrboro since 1923. We've always strived to provide you with the three most valuable things in the construction supply business: competitive prices, excellent customer service, and top quality building products. That's our goal to you. So please stop by to see just why Fitz Lumber and Hardware has been going strong for over a century. You'll be glad you did. We appreciate your business. Here comes Fitch.
It's amazing what you can find in your own backyard. Whether you need a springboard to a bachelor's degree or a second chance at success, Durham Technical Community College has provided high quality, affordable, and convenient technical and career education for more than 50 years. Watch your mailbox for the Fall Continuing Education Catalog. Visit durhamtech.edu, call 919-536-7200, or stop by our Durham or Orange County campus and find out just how far you can go.
Today's offer at OurLocalDeal.com is from Integrated Body Work. It's 50% off, a one-hour massage valued at $110, available today for only $55. Integrated Body Work is a therapeutic massage facility conveniently located in the heart of Chapel Hill at 1504 East Franklin Street. Integrated Body Work's expert massage therapist, Lisa Green, has helped hundreds of patients in the Chapel Hill Carrboro area increase their quality of life through pain resolution and management. It's half off a one-hour massage from Integrated Body Work, and it's available for a limited time, so buy it now at OurLocalDeal.com.
In his third year of running the sidelines, Coach Fedora has his Tar Heels ready for battle in the ACC.
Switzer's free at the 35. He's at midfield. Switzer with the Jets, and he's done it again.
Catch every snap of Carolina football right here on the Tar Heels Sports Network.
Are you getting excited yet about Carolina football? Tar Heels open up the season on August 30th against Liberty, and you can hear it all right here on WCHL.
Good morning. It is 7:30 at WCHL. Before I get to the weather, let me just remind you that we have some real problems as far as traffic is concerned. South of town this morning, there was an accident involving two big tractor-trailer rigs just north of Jack Bennett Road off 15501, and traffic is detoured there. There's two big rigs are in the road, and they're not allowing traffic through there. You have to take a detour. You can take Jack Bennett Road over to Lystra Road. You can take Andrew's Store Road to Man's Chapel and other ways to get into town this morning, but it's going to be a delay. So please be careful out there and just be aware of that. It's going to be actually a pretty nice day today. Other than that, we'll tell you more about the traffic in just a little while here. Right now it is 70 degrees in Chapel Hill.
Chapelboro.com is more of what you live here for. If it's happening where you live, you can find it on 97.9 FM. WCHL's website, Chapelboro.com.
We'll wind up at Emory University Hospital in Atlanta. Jeremy Reitbol's mother, who was a missionary in Liberia, is now heading to Georgia.
By her suffering in this and by her just going through it, she may be able to help countless more.
In New York City, a man was checked into a hospital, put into isolation after he exhibited a fever and other symptoms of Ebola.
I'm Jim Taylor at Mount Sinai Hospital in New York. Officials here stress two things. First, and most important, they say the odds are a patient here with Ebola-like symptom does not have the disease. Second, all precautions are being taken to keep this stricken patient isolated and other patients and staff safe. Right now, doctors here are awaiting test results from the CDC. Those could arrive.
This man, a visitor to Mount Sinai Hospital, any worries about the Ebola virus showing up here?
A lot of people travel to New York, of course. It's a melting pot. It's very possible.
CBS News Update, I'm Dave Barrett.
This hour of the morning news with Ron Stutz is brought to you by Bredman's Restaurant, open at 7 a.m. daily and serving breakfast all day. Bredman's on Rosemary Street, a Chapel Hill tradition since 1974.
WCHL News, Talk and Tar Heels at 97.9 FM, WCHL.
732 at WCHL. We have 70 degrees in Chapel Hill. Look for a high today in the upper 80s. A little patchy drizzle is possible this morning, along with a little fog. So just watch out for that out there, particularly if you're driving. And again, we have some real traffic problems south of Chapel Hill this morning. A 15501, two tractor trailer rigs apparently collided. We don't know all the details of the accident, but traffic is blocked off there. You can't come into town on 15501 once you get to about Jack Bennett Road. If you get past Jack Bennett coming toward Chapel Hill, you're going to be stopped, and you have to take some kind of a detour to get in. You can turn right onto Jack Bennett and then come in that way over to Lystra, and you can also take Andrew's Store Road and go to Man's Chapel Road from there. At any rate, it is a real mess, and we'll keep you posted on that situation. Rand will have more details on that in just a few minutes here. The Orange County Five arrested at a Moral Monday protest could have all charges dropped. We'll tell you all the details on that coming up in our next newscast on WCHL, and your local mayors are teaming up today to tackle growing concerns for affordable housing here in Orange County. For those using housing choice vouchers, there is a press conference coming up a little bit later on in the day, and those stories on our website this morning at chapelboro.com, also in our next newscast. We wanted to tell you about National Night Out in your local community. Tonight is a night. It's an annual event, now in its 31st year, co-sponsored by police departments across the nation to promote close, friendly neighborhoods, the better to prevent drug abuse and crime. From 6 until 8 p.m., you're invited to turn on your outside lights, lock your doors, and spend the evening outside with your neighbors. Many neighborhoods in the area are hosting special events. Police officers will be there to meet with residents as well. In Hillsboro, National Night Out is another example of the town's commitment to its close-knit, small-town character. Mayor Tom Stevens joined WCHL's Aaron Keck in the Monday afternoon news to discuss both National Night Out and the town's efforts in general to preserve its character in the face of development and growth.
I cannot praise our police officers. They do a very, very nice job. As mayor, you get a lot of complaints, but I will tell you that I get people who will stop me, and I've had people stop me and say, you know, our police officer gave me a ticket the other day, but it was so professional, and I just need to tell you.
So it's nice. This is the best kind of comment that you can get. Yeah, like, so your staff is doing their job.
That's refreshing. We do make an effort to stay, you know, you can't just say the police sort of keep us safe. It is something that we all do,
yes.
and on. Our police department works with the communities. I know there are several apartment complexes and several neighborhoods that are holding events, and we certainly encourage that. Mm-hmm. And Hillsborough is very much a place of character. It's about neighborhoods. It's about community.
Yeah.
And you know, and of course, but people have lots of questions about, you know, how we're going to grow, what's the character of our town. So that's, you know, what is on people's minds.
Yeah, yeah. And it's a perfect segue because we got some email questions from some Hillsborough residents. They knew you were coming in this afternoon, and they wanted me to ask about. And this is something that we've talked about in recent weeks or recent months, the projected growth for the town of Hillsborough, which isn't necessarily any more or less dramatic than growth in the past decade or the previous decade before that, but still pretty significant growth coming to the town of Hillsborough in the next few years. 500 more homes being built, that's a couple thousand more people. And how does the city plan to accommodate that? How do you make that work logistically, and how do you preserve Hillsborough's character?
Well, you know, there's a long process. A lot of that, 500 or 600, I think, has actually been approved now, mm-hmm. and perhaps more looking at it. We very much focus on connectivity and how does one neighborhood fit in the overall fabric and connection to the town. We have had applicants who've come in and want to plop something, and it's just kind of out in the middle of nowhere or not connected, and we've just said absolutely no. We've had other people, and some of the developments that we've seen, the Waterstone development and Forest Ridge, where in many ways developers were very good about we're going to do this with connectivity in terms of trails and sidewalks and some variety in the housing. So we certainly want to encourage development that fits into the fabric. We certainly don't just sort of approve everything that's sort of coming down the pike too. So we probably said no to about half the things and yes to things that have good merit, and particularly when folks have been working with us. So I feel good about our processes. And you're right, it's been a steady growth. I mean, mm-hmm. if you look over the last four decades, we probably averaged 25% or 30% per decade. That's probably what we'd be looking at. Mm-hmm. It is non-trivial. I mean, it is significant. We might be additional couple thousand folks. But, you know, going from 6,000 to 8,000, it's still very much small town. We're yeah. still committed to that. And I've said over and over again, the important thing about that is making sure that we have a sense of place. And that's part of connectivity and, mm-hmm. and distinctiveness in our neighborhoods, as well as the hallmarks of Hillsborough, like the downtown and the Riverwalk, but also just in all the little corners, that they're a distinctive sense of place, that there's a feeling of home, mm-hmm. And that there's an experience of community. And if we welcome folks in these neighborhoods that are coming into town and they really get to see the sense of place, and we build that in, if they have, you know, this is my home and people are treated that way and experience community, then I think we'll continue to have that small town character that we're known for and why people love to visit us and love to live here.
And we're talking with Tom Stevens, mayor of Hillsborough. And while you were saying that, it just sort of occurred to me, is there Hillsborough is a long way away from reaching a point like this, but do you have a cap in mind for population? Because, you know, 25% to 30% growth from 6,000 to 8,000 is one thing, but when you keep projecting that for a few more decades, you might start to run into that point where that small town.
It's hard to say 50 years from now or 100 years from now, but actually we have done some pretty significant strategic planning, mm-hmm. and there are two constraints on growth, and the first one is water capacity, mm-hmm. and so we have a pretty I want to say thorough water capacity plan. In fact, we're getting ready to update it again, mm-hmm. and that's put some limits about how much we can grow. We say we can, you know, we can add another 1,000, 2,000 homes, maybe a million and a half square feet of mm-hmm. Commercial space. That will preclude the kind of exponential growth that you started seeing, that the 180% growth that you saw in Cary, yep. or the kinds of growth that Pittsburgh is looking at with 60,000
people.
Yeah, yeah. So so that's one thing. And the other thing is the traffic patterns. You know, mm-hmm. we're at the location that's been here for 250 years trying to build new roads, particularly to get north-south. We already have 86 coming through. Yep. You've got two interstates a U.S. highway, a railroad, and a river. And so essentially there's limits to what we could do with roadways and how we're able to connect people. And so that's what our strategic plan talks about. So we are talking about in the neighborhood of adding a few thousand people a decade. It will be very, very difficult for us to do much more than that, at least in the next few decades.
The very long term,
yeah,
right?
Yes, yeah. We'd have to find a new, totally new water supply to be able to do that. And we certainly can, looking at, what's going to happen to Jordan Lake, what's going to, how we can connect with other communities. But it's kind of nice in one sense to have these natural constraints so we can grow, we can be vibrant, but we're in a way that has some predictability and maintains what's enduring about Hillsborough. And that's the distinctive character that we have in our community.
That is Aaron Keck with Mayor Tom Stevens of Hillsborough talking about National Night Out, which is tonight from 6 until 8 in Hillsborough, Chapel Hill, Carrboro, and all across the country. And by the way, in case you don't know, you can join Aaron Keck on the WCHL Afternoon News beginning at 3 p.m. each weekday. Aaron welcomes all three of Orange County's mayors to the WCHL studios at least once a week. Mayor Tom Stevens of Hillsborough, Mayor Lydia Lavelle of Carrboro, and Mayor Mark Kleinsmith of Chapel Hill are all here in our studios talking about whatever is happening that particular day and that particular week. 7:41 at WCHL. Coming up next, today's commentary on the way from Jim Warren of NC Warren. And we'll also talk with Rand Northam about that horrific travel problem south of town. And in addition to that, what's happening at chapelboro.com.
Hey, this is Dan Patrick from my friends at the Chapel Hill Restaurant Group. The group recently opened up a new restaurant. It's called Page Road Grill. Great place to meet friends in the middle of the triangle. They got fantastic southern cuisine. They got 20 beers on tap, plenty of parking, but they also offer a full catering menu. And they can handle any and all of your catering needs. They can do a small office event or cocktail party, or they can go big. They've actually catered events for over 1,000 folks. They can provide lunch and dinner buffets with feature menu selections from their award-winning restaurants. Mez, Squids, 411 West, 518 West, or Spanky's. They can also do boxed breakfasts or lunches or elegant dinner parties. And, of course, they offer an incredible selection of hors d'oeuvres and appetizers that will make any gathering a culinary success. There's only one problem they need to address. They don't go out of state, so they can't deliver to my man cave here. PageRoadGrill.com or click on catering. That's PageRoadGrill.com. PageRoadGrill.com.
Put on your walking shoes and join the Orange County Department on Aging and the Carolina Association of Pharmacy Students for the 10th annual Aging in Stride 5K Run Walk on Saturday, November 1st. Proceeds from the Aging in Stride 5K benefit the Orange County Aging in Place Fund, which supports services and supplies for frail seniors who have exhausted all other resources. To register or make a donation, please call 919-245-4274 or register online at agingandstride.weebly.com.
Because Wendy switched to Geico and saved hundreds of dollars on car insurance, her vacation savings jar wants to pat her on the back. But it can't. It's a vacation savings jar. It doesn't have a palm to pat with. Even if it tried, it'd just spill change everywhere and make a mess. Switch to Geico, and every time you see the extra cash, you'll know your vacation savings jar wants to pat you on the back. But remember, it can't. It's a jar. It is, however, happy that you're saving money.
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Good morning. It is 7:43 at WCHL. Today's commentary on the way from Jim Warren, but right now let's check in with Rand Northam, who is back today after a couple of much-deserved days off, Friday and Monday.
Yeah, thank you.
Good to have you back today.
Good to be back. And, I got to go down and see my family in the Georgia area, greater Atlanta area, so...
Fantastic.
Both my family and Randy's family. So
yeah.
It was great.
That's great, man. Yeah. Well, we're glad you're back. And we had just a flock of callers. everybody calling in. Everybody was worried about you, wondering where you were. And, they all missed you. So,
well, thank you very much.
Your fan club was very active while you were away. What's happening today at Chapelboro? Well, first of all, tell us about the latest on the wreck south of town.
Well, we do know that this is going to take a while to clean up. We've got some new pictures coming in now. The northbound lanes are where the biggest problems are going to be. That's where that happened. Southbound is open and flowing right now, but northbound is going to be closed, they say, until at least 9 o'clock.
Yeah.
So know that. Take those alternate routes. They're posted all throughout Twitter. You can see him on our Twitter handle, at WCHL. That photo is there as well. It was WRAL that was taking that photo and sharing it out. But
it happened just a little north of Jack Bennett Road.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Yes, you're coming in there. The mm-hmm.
And, but it involved not only two tractor trailers, but also a pickup truck. So the pickup truck is smashed. One of the tractor trailer's front end is smashed as well. And as I mentioned earlier, the second tractor trailer that was involved, actually, it looks like the one tractor trailer drove right through the trailer part of that and actually split it in half. It has mulch or whatever it was carrying spilled out of the back of it, and all of that is going to take quite a while to clean up. Plus, there will possibly be some investigation into it as well, which will take a little while for the police department to handle that part of it as well. So big delays in the northbound direction of 15501 south of Chapel Hill between Chapel Hill and Pittsboro.
Yeah.
And it's right around Jack Bennett Road between Jack Bennett and Lystra Roads. So be on the lookout there for sure.
Absolutely.
On our website right now, we've got a big book sale in photo galleries for you. Mm-hmm. It was at the Chapel Hill Public Library. Randy and I love to go over to the Chapel Hill Public Library when they're holding a book sale and look all around because there's just lots of great books at a really cheap price, and it goes to a good cause as well. So, but that was just recently, I think this past weekend actually, was the Chapel Hill Public Library book sale, and Susan Murray has some great photos up there. Of course, if you didn't see the Meet the Heels gallery, that was this past weekend as well. That was yesterday's gallery, and everybody loves meeting the Heels every year.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
Some new faces out there, some old faces as well, and we love seeing that there are some older faces because that means a better chance at some victories this year too.
You know what? The players love that too.
Oh, yeah.
It's a great opportunity to see their fans up close and personal. Some of them really get a kick out of talking to the kids. And, you know, it really is kind of an inspiring event for everybody. I think Coach Fedora really enjoys it as well. So
definitely.
You know,
definitely.
A lot of people excited about the Carolina football team.
Yeah, and, you know, we're right on the cusp of UNC football right now, as we'll kick that off at the end of this month, if you believe it.
25 days from now.
Yeah, unbelievable. And so Larry Fedora saying he's pretty confident with the team coming up this year. So you can check out all of those columns as well that talk about UNC football here in the preseason. We've got a calendar page for you, too. Lots of great events going on in and around Chapelboro. Hope you'll check those out. And lots of other great things going on our website, chapelboro.com, with instantly live streaming on an app for that.
All right, 747 at WCHL, running a little behind schedule this morning. I'm Rod Stutz, along with Rand Northam.
And now, WCHL presents The Commentators.
This is Jim Warren. Are you angry at Duke Energy executives for polluting North Carolina with coal ash? Well, now they're trying to kill our growing solar power industry. Duke Energy is already severely harming North Carolina's large-scale solar developers, and Duke's latest proposal could destroy our once-growing solar industry at both the rooftop and large-scale levels. That's right. Despite spending millions of customer dollars to make people think it supports solar power, Duke Energy has been stalling solar projects that are underway, and now it's trying to worsen the contracting rules for large-scale solar developers. Duke then plans to slash the price that rooftop solar customers receive for adding power to the grid. This is part of a national fight resulting from rapid solar power growth that has cut into the profits and threatens the business model of old-school monopoly utilities like Duke Energy. The North Carolina Utilities Commission must not allow Duke Energy to squash solar power in North Carolina. The commission must stop Duke from stalling large-scale solar contracts and prevent the utility from worsening its treatment of solar companies. Learn more at ncwarren.org. This is Jim Warren.
Is there a local issue you care about? You're invited and encouraged to contribute your own views on this or any other issue. The Commentators, local people, local issues, on 97.9 FM, WCHL.
We asked several members of the Cedars of Chapel Hill what they like best about living there. One of these is Jane McPherson, Cedars Charter member since 2004. Here's what Jane had to say.
I have friends at all the local retirement communities, and they are most impressed with the fact that here at the Cedars, we have a car and driver at our disposal. But what I want to talk about now is financial stability, which we take very seriously here at the Cedars. People of our generation are conservative about how they treat the money they have earned. We don't like debt, either for ourselves individually or when we buy into a place. It goes against our values. It is a unique feature that the Cedars is entirely debt-free. Everything we pay goes toward our care and sustenance. Not a penny goes for debt service or interest on loans. And that is a major reason why the Cedars has been the right choice for us.
Thanks, Jane. To learn more about the Cedars lifestyle, visit cedarsofchapelhill.com.
At Cruiser's Convenience Marketplace headquarters, we are thrilled with the tremendous response to our hot, fresh coffee. But we need to clarify a few points. Cruiser's brews fresh coffee and discards any that doesn't get enjoyed while fresh. This not-so-fresh coffee is not available for purchase and resale by other coffee shops. Though Cruiser sells coffee shop quality coffee using 100% Arabica beans, we cannot provide the snooty service often associated with coffee shops. And although our taste rate guarantee is a wonderful start, we cannot guarantee that the rest of your day will be perfect. That, my friend, is up to you. Fresh, great-tasting coffee, guaranteed, only at Cruisers. Good to go.
Can't say enough about those Cruisers, folks.
It's a big-time freaking team.
Yes, it is. 7:50 at WCHL. Time to take a quick look at traffic and weather together on WCHL. This traffic report is brought to you by Cruisers Convenience Marketplace. We told you earlier, Rand's been reporting on that accident south of town, just north of Jack Bennett Road, coming in on 15501. A couple of tractor-trailer rigs and a pickup truck involved in an accident. That means that the northbound lane is blocked altogether. You have to take a detour in order to get into Chapel Hill. You can go on Jack Bennett Road, take that over to Listra Road, or you can go to Andrews Store Road and take that to Man's Chapel to get into town. But at any rate, it's going to be a real problem. There is no problem going south of Chapel Hill, but going north, yeah, that's a serious problem this morning, and delays expected until about 9 o'clock this morning. As I mentioned, Cruiser's Convenience Marketplace serves fresh brewed coffee fast, guaranteed to taste great. Fill up this morning at Cruiser's, good to go. WCHL's Chapel Hill Carborough weather. It is 70 degrees in Chapel Hill right now. Partly sunny today. A little drizzle possible this morning, along with areas of fog. Our high today about 88 degrees. Tonight, partly cloudy with a low in the middle 60s. Tomorrow, mostly sunny with a high in the low 90s. 7:52 at WCHL. You notice that? It's going to get hot again tomorrow with the highs in the 90s. And you know what, Wayne? The good thing is that on Thursday, it'll be back down in the 80s.
It's just a roller coaster, isn't it?
Yes, it's like a thrill ride.
We need to consult Dr. Storm Thunder, meteorologist.
I think so. Actually, it's not so bad. I mean, it's really going to get hot tomorrow, and then it's going to cool down a little bit. So, you know, it won't last all that long.
It's just like your nature, Ron. It's unpredictable, but it's fun to watch.
Predictably unpredictable.
There you go.
Well, hey, listen, right, I just want to give you a little advance notice. I have the joke of the day, so you might want to stick around because
Good. Can I put another quarter in and listen to it?
Yeah, I think you'll enjoy it. So don't go anywhere.
Anything that comes from the Ron Stutz Radio Extravaganza, I will enjoy.
Well, what do you got for us as far as our vocabulary is concerned?
Well, I don't know about that, but I do have a word of the day for you here.
All right.
The word of the day is infantilize, I-N-F-A-N, N as in Nancy, T-I-L-I-Z-E, infantilize, I-N-F-A-N, T-I-L-I-Z-E. Now, according to the wordsmith, the word infantile is has something of a history in the English language, 300 or 400 years old. However, infantilize, according to the wordsmith, doesn't come into English. It was only in the last century, the 1940s, around the time you were born, right, Ron?
Yeah. Thanks. You want to talk.
That's what's called a gentle giant. Well, anyway, infantilize is a verb to cause to be or to remain in an infant state, to act as a young child, to treat like an infant or a young child. Infantilize. You know, the way you are with all the new salespeople at the radio station.
Yeah, that's true.
Oh, hey, did you hear that rant? We just extracted a real admission, and he let it slip.
In other words, to never grow up.
I guess that's the way you could say it. So there it is, pal. Infantilize. I-N-F-A-N-T-I-L-I-Z-E. It's a verb to cause to be or to remain in an infant-like state, like a young child.
Well, you know what?
There's your word of the day, Ron. Yeah. Are you happy with that?
Yeah, you know what Shakespeare said?
What did Shakespeare say?
Shakespeare said to infantilize or not to infantilize. That is the question.
Oh, God. Can you just see all the English majors rolling their eyes? All the English professors rolling, I don't know what they're rolling.
That is the word of the day from Wayne Pond, brought to you by Frank Street Realty. Why would you call anyone else?
I don't know. I
didn't think you did. Next hour, you have an opportunity to call in and tell me the word of the day, spell it, define it, and if you can do all that, we'll give you a $10 gift card to Cruisers. 7:55 at WCHL. As I mentioned, I have the joke of the day today.
Oh,
Wayne, I don't know if I'm going to stand by this or not, but because this joke comes in from Wiley Post. Boy. So hopefully it'll be funny. You ready?
Wiley Post is one of the commentators, right?
Yeah, yes, he is.
Yeah, fair enough. Okay.
All around good guy.
All right.
Two young engineers applied for a single position at a computer company. They both had the same qualifications. In order to determine which individual to hire, the applicants were asked to take a test by the department manager. Upon completion of the test, both men had each missed only one of the questions. The manager went to the first applicant and said, "Thank you for your interest, but we've decided to give the job to the other applicant." "And why would you be doing that? We both got 9 questions right," asked the rejected applicant. "Well," the manager said, "we based our decision not on the correct answers, but on the question you missed," said the department manager. "And just how would one incorrect answer be better than the other?" The rejected applicant wanted to know. "Simple," the department manager said. "Your fellow applicant put down on question 5, 'I don't know.' You put down, 'Neither do I.'"
Oh, boy, I tell you, that tells you something about the state of education, doesn't it?
Really?
And not a happy picture.
And it says something about Wiley Post, but we're not sure exactly what that is. Hey, Wayne, thanks a lot, buddy.
Ron, you have a good day. Talk to you in the morning.
You too. Good morning, everybody. It is 7:57.
Hi, welcome to AT&T.
Hi, I've got 2 teenagers, so...
So you want to save money?
Desperately.
Well, AT&T's best ever pricing for families gives you 10 gigabytes of data to share and unlimited talk and text on 4 lines, all for $160 a month with the nation's most reliable 4G LTE network. Now, do your teens download much?
Obsessively.
Do they talk and text a lot?
Constantly.
You also get $100 bill credit for every line. There's even plans for up to 10 lines. Sound good?
Insanely.
AT&T, mobilizing your world. AT&T reminds you to never text and drive. It can wait.
Get the new curved LG G Flex smartphone with 6-inch HD screen for immersive cinematic viewing and exceptional voice and sound. Visit store or att.com for details.
Pricing is for 4 phones on AT&T mobile share value with no annual contract. Credit offer ends April 30th. Activate new line and remain in good standing to receive credit within 3 months. Other charges and restrictions apply. Reliability claim based on analysis of independent third-party data regarding national carriers 4G LTE.
Today's offer at OurLocalDeal.com is from Chapel Hill Training. It's 67% off, a $120 value for 5 boot camp sessions available today for only $40. With today's offer, you can get 5 boot camp fitness sessions at Chapel Hill Training on Rosemary Street in Chapel Hill. Boot camp sessions combine total body exercises with cardio spurts to provide you with a comprehensive circuit training workout. In 2011, Chapel Hill Training was voted best gym by Chapelboro.com. It's over half off from Chapel Hill Training, and it's available for a limited time, so buy it now at OurLocalDeal.com.
More than the sum of our parts.
Go! Go! Touchdown, Carolina!
More than stamina, talent, and strength.
Cardinals bring the house, and down he goes.
We are a team.
He's at the 30. Bye-bye! Touchdown, Carolina!
And this is our year. This is Carolina football.
Are you
Getting excited yet about Carolina football? Tar Heels open up the season on August 30th against Liberty. And you can hear it all right here on WCHL.
This hour of the morning news with Ron Stutz is brought to you by Bredman's Restaurant. Open at 7 a.m. daily and serving breakfast all day. Bredman's on Rosemary Street, a Chapel Hill tradition since 1974.
WCHL's Chapel Hill cover weather brought to you by Glass Half Full. First of all, let me mention once again, real traffic jam out on 15501 south of Chapel Hill. There is a detour. You have to turn right on Jack Bennett Road or take another detour into Chapel Hill if you're coming this way, because there was an accident this morning involving a couple of tractor-trailer rigs and a pickup truck. All the details coming up just a little while here. More with Rand Northam, who is following that situation. It is going to be partly sunny today, a little chance of a patchy drizzle, some fog, high today 88 degrees. It's 8 o'clock.
This is 97.9 FM and 1360 AM WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station.
Second American Ebola patient due in U.S.
We're cautiously optimistic. We're prayerful that she'll pull through on this.
Quiet in Gaza.
The truce is holding.
Rough ride in the sky.
He dropped. Everyone blew up for like 2 seconds.
Good morning. I'm Steve Kathan with the CBS World News Roundup. An American woman fighting the often deadly Ebola virus should be back on U.S. soil soon. The plane carrying missionary Nancy Reitbol is bound for Atlanta in the intensive care that could save her life. Her son Jeremy says family and friends are as optimistic as they can be.
She was weak, but showing some good signs and some improvement. She was eating a little bit, able to take in fluid.
She'll be treated at Emory University Medical Center's special unit. That's where we find CBS's Dr. John LaPook.
Nancy Reitbol remains in serious but stable condition. The head of the special unit that's taking care of her and Dr. Brantley told me that they're set up here to handle any possible complication that could arise from Ebola. Things, for example, like lung failure and kidney failure.
Another American who got Ebola in Liberia being treated there, too. As John mentioned, Dr. Kent Brantley's getting an experimental drug. In New York City, a sick man who'd been to the region is being tested for Ebola. Mount Sinai Hospital's Dr. David Rich is trying to tamp down the fear factor.
People should understand that if this were a case of Ebola, which we do not know, that it is not transmitted by casual contact.
I'm Jim Taylor at Mount Sinai Hospital. Officials here stress two things. First and most important, they say the odds are a patient here with Ebola-like symptoms does not have the disease. Second, all precautions are being taken to keep this stricken patient isolated and other patients and staff safe.